Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'd like to dismiss the children to children's church at this time. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, last week we began our series entitled, There's No Place Like Home. There's no place like home. And we talked about the home being the place of impact. It is the place where our convictions are transferred to our children and then on to the next generation. No matter what situation you're in your home, you have something to learn as we study the home because you are making an impact in your home, and then you can encourage others as they make their impact in the home. And last week we noted that to have a home that is a place of impact, there needs to be a genuine love for God. Emphasis on genuine. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength. A genuine love for God. And then the home is a place where there's real life learning. In other words, it says in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, talk to them. When you get up in the morning, when you lie down, it gives the idea that the lessons in life are not necessarily always learned in a formal classroom, but they're learned along the way in the home. And so the home has to be a place of real life learning. The third thing we learn is that the home needs to be a place of thankfulness, a place of thankfulness. And we realize that in our covenant relationship, all throughout God's dealing with man, there has always been a facet of gratitude that God's people need to have. God's people need to be grateful. And so for us to have a home of impact, then we need to have an attitude of thanksgiving in our homes. And then the last one was, a home is a place where there are testimonies of grace. When your son or your daughter says, Dad, why do we do the things we do? We give a testimony. We say, well, here's what happened way back when I was 16 years old and I gave my life to Christ. It changed my perspective. Why do we run your business? Why do you run your business this way, Dad? Well, this is the reason that I do that. A place of testimonies. And in the Old Testament, there was a time when they would sit their children down and they would talk to them about God delivering them from Egypt, and they would share their testimony. So that is what we talked about. Now, I share all that just to give a little repetition so that it may kind of stroke that chord in our hearts again as we think about our own homes. But today I want to share with you a key passage of Scripture as it relates to husbands in the home. Men, husbands, bow up, buckle your seatbelt. Here we go, all right? As it relates to husbands in the home, and the title is The Champion of Love. If there's one person in a home that must be the champion of love, it is to be the husband. Now, let me say this. Sometimes along the way, our practical advice and our dogmatic, ideas of how everything ought to be done kind of changes along the way. I heard the story about this author named Charlie Shedd. He wrote a lot of great books. Some of y'all remember the book Letters to Karen and Promises to Peter. This was the author that wrote those books. Well, he was preaching on raising kids, and when he was real young, he had a message, and he tells this story in a book, and he says that when I was young, I had a message, how to raise children. That was the title of it. And then he had children. And then a period of time went by. And then he said, you know, I didn't preach that sermon quite as frequently. He said, the next time I spoke, I changed the title. And the title was, Some Suggestions to Parents. And then years later, it changed to this, Feeble Hints to Fellow Strugglers. And then finally, the title of the message changed to, Anyone Here Got a Few Words of Wisdom? So listen, folks, we wrestle, and I wrestle with this. You know, I wrestle in my own heart about trying to share things that even after 31 years of marriage, That's pretty exciting, honey. 31, you know, there's things that that the Lord just curbs you from. You just realize that, you know, there's struggles out there, and we're, none of us have done it right. But here's what we can do, folks, and this is what we're committed to doing. We're going to look what the Bible says about it. That's not what I'm saying about it. What's the Bible says about it? So I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 as we think about the message, the champion of love. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Verse 31. "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh," showing the primary relationship is between the husband and the wife. The two shall become one flesh. Verse 32. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Men, do I have an amen to that? Ladies, just buckle your seatbelt. It's coming down the road, okay? It's coming down the road. There's no place like home. But let me just say this. Men, we are commanded. It's interesting. You have a command in here for the wife, and it's not the command. Now, a wife is to love her husband, but the command is not to love her husband in this passage of Scripture. But the command to the husband is to love his wife. It's interesting that the husband is the champion of love. Now, I want us to think about the three things that are in your bulletin. There's three little blanks there, and then you can make some other notes. Number one, love shows leadership. Now, I want to suggest to you that leadership is shown even as a follower. You may want to jot this scripture down in 1 Corinthians 11:2, and it's also shown up in the earlier verses in chapter 5 of our passage. But in 1 Corinthians 11:2, it says this, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." I just want to suggest to you, men, that as we are the champions of love, and as we show leadership in loving our wives, that one of the ways we do that is as a follower. We are the head of our wife, but the Bible says that Christ is the head of the man. And so we have someone we are to follow. Listen, men, one of the things we need to commit to, and I don't know all that this means to you in your own situation, but we need to determine we're going to be Jesus men. Young men up here, you're a Jesus man. That means you're committed to Jesus Christ. And men, as we are following Christ with all of our heart, it gives us the ability and the enablement to be the champion of love in our home. So I want to encourage you to be a Jesus man. Be a follower. Just as you are the head of your family, you have someone you're following. You're following Jesus Christ in a powerful way. So leadership as a follower, but love shows leadership. It shows it as a follower, but also leadership willing to sacrifice. Now, in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." This is the highest and distinctively Christian word that is known for love. The word agape, as over against eros, which means a sexual passion, or phileo love, which is a family affection. Paul chooses this verb, agapeo, to insist that the love of a Christian man for his wife must be a response to and an expression of the love of God in Christ extended to the church. This is supernatural kind of love. And what does it mean? It means to seek her highest good. Now, it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. It's interesting that husbands are commanded to love their wife, feminine. And do you know that the word church in the Greek New Testament is a feminine word, just as Christ loved the church, a feminine word. Interesting, like the wife. Now, men, someone must take the lead in love. It says, we are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. This is a high calling. This takes leadership. Our model is Christ. And I want to suggest to you that we love by serving. In Mark chapter 10, verse 43, it says this, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Paul himself has already declared that Christ laid down his life for our sins in Romans 4:25. He declares that he laid down his life for me in Galatians 2:20 and for us all in Romans 8:32. Now in this passage, he affirms that our Lord's sacrificial death was for her, the church. For her. It's a sacrificial type of love. Now, let me say this. It was known in the Greco-Roman society that the wife had obligations to the man. That was a given. In the society in which this scripture was written, it was a given that the wife had obligations to man. But let me say this. Christianity changed the equation in this day and age. Because now there were obligations to the man to love her. And this is very, very important. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and just flip over about three pages to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Men, what I'm trying to say to us all here is this. This is straight talk from God's Word about our assignment as husbands. If we're going to go by the pattern that God has given us, we are commanded to love sacrificially. This passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and following, gives us a picture of the type of sacrifice that we are called to for our wives. All right, it says, let this mind be in you. And this is the picture of Christ loving us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. I love that phrase, and I've heard it translated this way, that Jesus did not hold on to his deity, listen, as something to be grasped. You may want to just write that in your margin of your Bible. In other words, when he says, he considered it not robbery, that phrase is a little hard to understand. He considered it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, it was not something to be grasped. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation. And that means he emptied himself. Men, our love for our wives is to be a love of emptying ourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a selfish person. But God is calling me, and you're a selfish person. God is calling you, and as I'm preaching this, I'm looking at myself in the mirror. But God is calling us. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. This is the type of love Christ has for the church. And taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, verse 8 says, he humbled. The word humble there means to make low. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was willing to die. There is the flavor, even in Ephesians, or you can go back to Ephesians 5 now. In Ephesians 5, there is the flavor of substitution. Now make no mistake about it. Our wives, these ladies, they have their own relationship with Jesus Christ. but in the sense that Jesus made a substitute for them, he was willing to empty himself and lay down his life. There is that idea that are we willing to sacrifice and lay down our lives for our wives? This is straight talk, men. Are we willing to die? Are you willing to die for your wife? If we love the way, if we're committed to the way God has commanded us to live, then we'll give up things for our wives. Are we willing to do that? What can you sacrifice to be a blessing to her? I want you to think about that, men, because that is our command. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. You think about this leadership as it shows sacrifice, and then leadership as a protector. Because if you go back even to verse 23, we didn't read this scripture, but go back up to verse 23. It says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." In a sense, Jesus Christ is the protector of the body. He's the protector of the church. And in this way, a husband is to be the protector. Although salvation comes through Christ, one can draw the conclusion from the analogy that the husband is the protector of the wife. So, love shows leadership. You're the champion of love in your home, mister, preacher. I should be the champion of love. You're the champion because love shows leadership. Number two, love shows exclusivity. Love shows exclusivity. Now we're back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The word sanctify means to set apart. In other words, love in the marriage relationship, there's exclusivity, and love shows that. When the husband is the champion of love, it shows that exclusivity. It says that she is sanctified. It means to be set apart. It means to fulfill the original purpose for which she was designed. In verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. There's an old Jewish wedding custom in which when the ring is given, the bridegroom says to the bride, "Behold, thou art sanctified to me, set apart." It's an exclusive relationship, and she is set apart. And that's what love does. Love sanctifies the wife. It is to help her fulfill her purpose. Now, I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 2. Take your Bible and look back at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis 2:18. And we see when the Lord created Eve, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Can I say this? The biggest, the best helper, my greatest encourager is Kelly. Your greatest encourager ought to be your wife. And as you love her, what you're doing is you're helping her fulfill her purpose. It's kind of like, you know, this harmony that was up here. Man, this trio had harmony. It's kind of like this. The man in the marriage sings the lead, and that's okay. I always sang lead. I can't. Michael had me singing tenor one time. You don't want me doing that, okay? First of all, I can't sing high enough, but anyway, I got through it. But I normally sing lead. Lead is great, and you got to have lead, but the harmony is what makes it sweet, and the harmony is what makes it wonderful. And it's kind of like this. The man in the marriage sings the lead, but the woman sings the harmony. God gave these roles in the home, and the man is the key to it because the man is to love as Christ loved the church. I heard the story of a couple. They were filling out some documents, and the wife was filling it out, and she, it said on there, you know, on many of these things you fill out, it says, what is your occupation? And she didn't work outside the home. And so she kind of looked at that, and then she looked up at her husband, and she wrote housewife. And that husband put his arm around her. He said, honey, you're my wife. This one that God has given to that man to come alongside and to be the great encourager, to be the sweetness, to sing the harmony in the with the melody. The key to it all is the man being the champion of love. Love your wives as Christ loves the church. In verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse. I want you to consider forgiveness. In the exclusive relationship of the home, men, we need to be forgivers. Love leads in forgiveness. There usually is not reconciliation in a relationship until somebody gives in. Men, can I just tell you something? Swallow hard. I've been swallowing hard all week reading, studying this. I should lead the way in forgiveness. I should lead the way in initiating forgiveness. Because you see, as Christ loves the church, the scripture says that he might sanctify and cleanse her. There is a leading it with forgiveness. And then in verse 27, it says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You see, when you love that way, you show her honor. Because you see, Christ is preparing his bride to go to heaven. He's preparing and he is cleansing and he's changing to present a glorious bride. Listen, our wives should contain glory because of our love. There should be a radiance about them because of the way they are loved. You give her honor. You give her a special place of honor. You say, well, I've got a lot of forgiving to do. Well, I know she's not perfect. She picked you. And it's wonderful how God brings that relationship. Kelly is my encourager. I remember one time I finished preaching and we were on our way home, and boy, I just felt like I really, you know, really preached a good sermon. And man, I was just kind of beaming about it, you know. Man, I preached a good sermon. And I think Kelly kind of knew, you know, she, you know, when you've been married 31, you can kind of read each other's minds a little bit. So she kind of knew about what I was thinking. And so I just kind of said this, kind of leading her on a little bit. I said, Kel, I wonder how many great preachers there are in the world. She said, one less than you're thinking. But let me tell you, this is an exclusive relationship that men hinges upon us loving and honoring, initiating forgiveness, just as Jesus Christ did to the church. The very last thing, and we'll be done, is love shows oneness. In verse 28, it says this, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are to love because it shows oneness. The Bible says a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Verse 29 makes it real clear. There is a great drive in all of us to take care of the body. We serve the body. We have cravings. We get hungry. We need sleep. And so what do? We try to do our best to take care of the body. Well, in the same way that we love our own self, we are to love our wives. Love shows oneness. The word nourish means to supply with food. In verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes. It means to supply with food, to give her what she needs. This is what we do, men. We provide the real needs of her life. We nourish spiritually. And then it says, and cherishes it. That is a word that means to keep warm. And we do that because we are members of his body. It is because of this exalted biblical view of marital relations that the church has taken its stand on the permanence of marriage. It is a picture of Christ in the church. Now, in conclusion, look at verse 23. Verse 32. In verse 32, it says this: this is a great mystery. We're talking about marriage and talking about Christ in the church. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. This is a great mystery. Now, this word mystery doesn't refer to the intensity of the mystery, but it refers to the vast scope of the mystery of it. In other words, what he's saying is these truths are far-reaching. Men, can I tell you this? Our role, husband's love, agapeo, husband's love, there is a vast scope and ramifications to the impact of that statement. It is a mystery. It is a far-reaching and far, it has far-reaching importance as we think about being the champion of love in the home. It's never too late to start doing what's right, no matter what our past has been. No matter how we have conducted ourselves, it's never too late to do what's right. I heard the story that Winston Churchill was invited to a banquet. And at the banquet, there were different couples there. And so the host went around to all these dignitaries. Churchill was there. And he said, if you could not be who you are, who would you most like to be? Think about that question. If you could not be who you are, who would you most like to be? And so Churchill was in line to be the last one. It just happened that way. And so all these people went around. They said who they wanted to be. And when they got to Churchill, he said this. He said, if I could not be who I am, I would like to be Lady Churchill's second husband. Let me tell you something. You have a special relationship. You have a special calling, men, because you are the champion of love. It's interesting that in this passage of Scripture, what is the command for husbands? The command is to love. The husband is the champion of love. Bow your heads and hearts with me in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.